Part 7. Home Truths. Without knowing what I am and why I am here, life is impossible. Leo Tolstoy. Impact. Northside, Outpost, New Kerguelen. The entire floor space of New Kerguelen's newly discovered outpost, a transparent domed structure with a tall cylindrical tower protruding upwards from its center, was no larger than the Birchwood Drive-In. The dome's base was square, with straight walls rising the equivalent of several stories before the curvature kicked in. This alone was an odd thing to behold, but the unexpected size and shape of the domed outpost was absolutely nothing compared to its incredible contents. Several machines that looked very much like square versions of the so-called elders lay in plain sight, straight ahead, lined up along the side that Dan's mind very unscientifically but very automatically thought of as north. In front of the machines, three chairs lay empty. Just like when Dan first laid eyes on alien furniture in the Great Shelter, he was unsurprised that bipedal humanoids accustomed to gravity would have such recognizable chairs. Unlike on that occasion, however, something about the chairs stuck out like a sore thumb. They were huge. Dan and Billy instinctively walked towards them, only taking around 20 seconds to arrive while Leisha and Sacco remained in their arrival spot directly at the dome's center. A very clear thought had been running through Dan's mind as his increasing proximity to the chairs ruled out their apparent size being a trick of the light or misjudged scale. Even as a tall man, his toes would dangle several feet from the ground if he were to sit back on one of the imposing chairs. Perfectly complementing what he had already concluded, on each chair there was an identical example of some kind of headset, with what appeared to be a socket at the section that would lie nearest to the wearer's neck. It seemed very likely that a cable would be inserted here rather than into the skin. I sure could have done with one of these earlier on, Dan thought. The headset was designed in such a way that one part ran across the top of the head, not entirely unlike a Greater X 3000 or any similar wired headset found on Earth, but more unusually, it had another part which ran down the back of the neck. The socket lay at the bottom of this second vertical part of the device's inflexible structure. Although it was a strange thing to see in its own right, once again the real impact of this device came from its size. Dan and Billy were both thinking it, so clearly that it went without saying. Undoubtedly, just like the chairs were made for their tall bodies, these headsets had clearly been made for the greatly elongated skulls of the extraterrestrial race represented on Dortlu Tepe's remarkable pillar. They have to be a completely different race, Billy said. There's no way they're Leisha and Sacco's actual forefathers. Look at the size of these things. To Dan's mind, Billy was right. The chair and headset had undoubtedly belonged to aliens of the race seen on the pillar, and that alien race was undoubtedly distinct from the messengers. Thinking of Dortlu Tepe made it hit home to Dan how he and Billy had just been fortunate enough to stumble into an undreamed-of museum. Nothing was hidden, nothing was decayed, and every secret was going to be revealed within minutes rather than months. The consequence of those secrets, as the men would learn in time, would be as far-reaching as the secrets themselves would be unfathomable. A silent call from Sacco tore both men's attention from the chair and the headset very suddenly, at which point they turned to find him standing to their left beside what seemed to be a high Ottoman-style storage unit of some kind. It had no lid, and the fullness of Sacco's hands suggested that he'd already had a good rummage around. While Dan hurried over to see what Sacco was holding, he noticed that Leisha was still in the center of the room, facing south and looking at seemingly nothing at all. Dan felt a pang of guilt for instinctively leaving Leisha to study the chairs as soon as they arrived, with the adrenaline and shock of the moment temporarily making him forget how distressed Leisha had looked after his first very brief trip to the outpost. "Are you okay?" Dan called to Leisha. The alien turned around slowly.
"Sacco has found what you came for," he replied, offering no characteristic smile or wink to mark this good news before he turned back around.
"Whoa," Billy said,
reaching the ottoman first and bringing Dan's focus back to the items Sacco was holding. Dan could hardly believe his eyes. It was too perfect. Are those? They are, Sacco mentally interrupted. Uplift devices of many kinds, Dan, including some which appear perfectly suitable for the child. Any ages, any size, any race. If she was here, I am certain we could free her of the powers within minutes.
But surely I can take them home, right? Dan asked, suddenly concerned. Just the ones that you think have the best chance of working?
Sacco didn't nod. He seldom expressed himself in the conscious physical ways Leisha seemed to enjoy so much, but a small grin spread across his face.
You can.
Dan could hardly believe it. Just like that, they had done it. They had found it. There was a lot left to discover about the outpost and several more surfaces and compartments to explore, so Dan didn't want to count any chickens just yet that the news would stay this good. But when the main news was this good, he figured, the rest barely mattered. His reason for coming, saving Piper from her own undesirable power, was quite literally within his reach, assuming Sacco's confidence was well placed. Dan didn't want to touch any of the objects just yet, terrified of breaking any, but Sacco seemed insistent on it, so he politely took hold of one with as much care as possible. It wasn't completely unlike the headset on the huge chair, except clearly made for a more human or messenger-shaped skull, and with an adjustable structure to fit even a very small head. There was also no socket, indicating that a cable wouldn't be necessary, just as it wasn't needed for the familiar two-part uplift device to work.
Is this what I need? Dan asked.
I believe it is, Sacco replied.
Billy beamed, bright and wide.
Nice job. Now, Dan, put that thing in your pocket and help me explore everything else. We're only here once.